We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out.
One of the better Elvis songs. Went on forever. Suspicious Minds. Yeah, Thanksgiving night, or was it the night before? I went back to my little Larson den, and I pulled out that Elvis Lives DVD. You've seen that sometimes they run on PBS, where they brought back all the singers and the band, and everybody's back there except Elvis. And through the old video technology. I like vidical better, actually. It looks like he's doing a concert again. So I just said, I told my wife, I said, I think I'm going to go back, and I think it's time for a little bit of Elvis. So I went back and just kind of relaxed and watched the concert. She said, you go right ahead, dear. I'll close the door and seal it off, because she's not a big Elvis fan. Yeah, so, but you know, that song, Suspicious Minds, he would do, and then he would throw off the band and the background singers because he would just keep it going. He'd kind of get real, you know, take it really low, and they think, is he done? And he'd play this little game with them. He would finish whenever he wanted. Sometimes take 2 or 3 days before you bring it back. That was one that always threw those of us who were disc jockeys in those days, too, because there was a fade-out at about 3 minutes in, or 3 and a half, wasn't it, Mike?
Exactly.
And then it came back.
Yeah.
And it goes on and on and on. Which reminds me of what the motivational speaker Zig Ziglar always said about music. He said, look, everybody was working with the same notes. Look what Beethoven did with a variety of notes. Look at Bach. Look at Mozart. Look what Elvis did using only 2 notes. You see?
Look what 50 Cent did.
50 Cent. 1 note.
Using a note and a half.
Yeah.
At any rate, thanks to our friends over at the sister station down the hall, 105.7 FM, The Walrus, San Diego's greatest hits, and our little Elvis diversion. I wonder what kind of music Chuck Norris listens to. I bet he listens to Mike Huckabee's greatest hits, because he's got that band. Was it the Troglodytes? Chuck Norris, the author of Black Belt Patriotism, How to Reawaken America, joins us. Good to have you back on the show, Chuck.
Hi, how you doing, Mark? No, actually, I'm a big Elvis fan, too. You know, I used to teach Priscilla Presley.
You did?
And I used to go to Elvis's concerts quite often. To me, I think he was one of the greatest entertainers of all time.
Do you have that Elvis Lives DVD?
I've got a lot of his DVDs.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, you go to it's amazing how they synchronize that, and they go back to, you'll see the guy there on the drums and the piano and the whole bit, and they're watching videos, and then Elvis will say, you know, oh, take it away, and then all of a sudden there's somebody doing a solo, and you'll see that person 30 or 35 years ago, and then you'll see them standing there now.
Yeah.
And after a while, you kind of forget that Elvis has left the planet. You know, you're looking at this going, this is pretty cool.
I know. The technology today is incredible.
So that's all you listen to, or do you listen to some Huckabee music?
I'm a real country fan, too. I listen to a lot of country music.
Well, I appreciate the candor there, because we asked somebody like John Bolton, the former U.N. ambassador, last week. We said, what do you listen to? And see, the policy wonks will always say, classical. And you know that they've got something weird they listen to beyond the classical.
I like John Bolton, though. I've had the opportunity of meeting him and talking to him, and I like him a lot.
Good guy. Well, we like you, Chuck, and we appreciate you coming back on the show. The book is Black Belt Patriotism. Now, let me ask you about this. We haven't had a chance to talk since the election, and I know you wrote a piece. You've been just churning out a lot of articles.
Yeah.
One that was it's kind of a letter to President-elect Obama saying, well, now that you work for me, .. Some of your observations.
You read my articles, huh?
Yes. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, the thing is, I honestly don't know what he's going to do in his presidency, but if I had to guess, it would be, late-term abortion will be legalized. I think gay marriage will become legal by a constitutional amendment. We will have socialized medicine and health care. More manufacturing jobs will be outsourced to other countries. You know, right now we have 3 million manufacturing jobs being outsourced to other countries, and I think it'll increase. The super rich will hide more of their money in offshore accounts to avoid taxes. Right now there's $13 trillion being hidden in offshore accounts.
Don't you think that some of what's going on when we have a big down day, whiplash day on Wall Street, you get a lot of people selling, going, I'll pull some of this out and stick it somewhere else?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of them are putting them in offshore accounts, hiding their money because they don't want to be paying these incredible taxes that the government is forcing on them. And, you know, and the 20% tax increase for the rich and not so rich, I think will cause a lot more layoffs of the middle class.
Now, these are a lot of the concerns that you and I both had on Obama going into this election. And now you look at some of the moves, and boy, I tell you, I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm actually encouraged when he picks a Hillary Rodham Clinton for Secretary of State over, say, John Kerry. because it's not as scary as we thought. So do you think that some of the things you're worried about may be down the line, a year or two or more down the line after some citrus moves?
Mark, is the, you know, if you have a Democratic Congress and a Democratic president, and especially if they have, you know, where they have complete control, you know, they can do anything they want to do. You know, and that really scares me when you know, when they have complete control of our country.
That's why these other lagging elections, Saxby Chambliss in Georgia, and this
Coleman,
crazy recount with Al Franken and
yeah,
Coleman.
I mean, it's, you know, it kind of worries me that if the House of Representatives has complete control as a Democratic, and where the Republicans have absolutely no voice. That's going to be kind of scary.
What do you say, Chuck Norris, when people say, okay, well, not Chuck, you got the whole body thing working there, and, you know, tough guy, all that image, and actor and author and so forth. But, you know, people may dismiss what you say when you talk about policy issues and say, you know, yeah, but you're the karate guy. You're not some D.C. policy wonk. How do you handle that when people pick up?
Well, you know, I read. I watch. I listen.
And you're an American, so you have the right to say whatever you want.
I do a lot of reading. I read a lot, and especially since I finished up the Walker series, you know, where I don't have to read screenplays every day. I do a lot of reading on history and a lot about our founding fathers, and that's what this book really is based on, you know, the vision that our founding fathers had for our country. And I really believe we've drifted from the principles and beliefs that our country was founded upon. And
yeah.
And the book addresses our out-of-control debt, you know, how government has failed to enforce our nation's borders and illegal immigration.
Yeah, I want to talk about the border issue in a second, but on the debt issue and the Founding Fathers' financial advice, that's another column you wrote as well, as you may recall. But you got a lot of that in the book. How do you think that the Founding Fathers would view what's going on, whether it's Sacramento, where we got the fiscal crisis there, we got the bailout mania in Washington. It seems like a trillion here, a trillion there. It's almost real money, you know.
I know. I mean, they're printing money like there's no tomorrow, you know, which is devaluating our dollar. And, you know, and it's, you know, I was never in favor of bailouts. You know, the thing is, there's companies that are surviving, you know, because they're running well-controlled, efficient companies. And the thing is, turn it over to them, you know, people that know how to run a company. And, you know, our car dealerships, I mean, if they can't, the thing is, they've lost hundreds of billions of dollars. What's $10 billion or $20 billion going to do to them? How's that going to help them? And I'm just worried we're going to bail ourselves right into a bankruptcy in our country.
I just wonder if we're already there. Add all this
up, possible. You know the thing, Mark. You know, I'm 68 years old, and I've
that's hard to believe, right there.
Yeah,
wonder of
it.
Modern technology.
I've worked hard all my life, and you know, and I'm financially solvent. But I'm really concerned about the people who are working from paycheck to paycheck in our country. And I'm worried about my children, my grandchildren. What does the future have for them? And it really concerns me, our country's going to wind up becoming the United States of Asia or the United States of the Middle East, you know.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
really worries me that, because right now, you know, China owns $1.5 million of our debt.
Oh, yeah. And I saw that. I was in China week before last, actually. I was over in Beijing and Shanghai. And, you're so reminded of just this intertwining of everything, and you know, some of it's good until you think it through. For example, you go through the Forbidden City, which everybody remembers from the movie The Last Emperor. If they've seen that, that's the Forbidden City,
right,
where the emperors used to hang out, and that whole restoration has been funded by American Express. It's just a little weird when you see signs saying brought to you by the American Express Foundation. So it's interwoven. You see a lot of different investment, and it's not as easy as it might have been, say, 50 years ago to say, if for example, if China threatens us, well, we'll just cut it all off. Well, you can't, because there's too much that they own and too much of their money interspersed with ours in the investments.
What they call in our debt? What if they say, well, I want our $1.5 trillion debt paid off now?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we going to give them?
Yeah.
It's scary. That's, you know, and the thing is, that's why I got behind Mike Huckabee. I think I really believed he had a vision for our country, and especially on the fair tax concept. I really believe that would help pull us out of this incredible debt that we have right now, because it would, the $13 trillion that are being hidden on offshore, if we had a fair tax in our country, that $13 trillion would come back into our economy and give us a huge boost. The 3 million manufacturing jobs being outsourced to other countries would come back to our country, because they wouldn't be taxed to death. You know, I mean, right now, you know, between the income taxes, employment taxes, capital gains, estate, corporate, property, Social Security, we're being taxed to death in our country.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we've got to find a solution to that. And you know, Obama talks about change. Well, let's make a change for the better. You know, let's form a fair tax concept that so the people can keep their money and spend it the way they, you know, how they want to spend it.
Then you're less likely to do the tricks and go offshore and hide that somewhere. Chuck Norris with us. His latest book, he is out, and a terrific read, Black Belt Patriotism, How to Reawaken America. Makes a lovely Christmas season gift, I'll bet. Lovely stocking stuffer, too, as a matter of fact. Let me ask you about border security, because this thing has struck me lately because we're here on the border.
Yeah.
You know, if you've seen what's been going on over in Tijuana and in other Mexican cities, especially just even in the last few days, where the drug wars have gotten just out of control. They're out of control before, and it's nuts now where they've had, I think the death count in the recent weekend was 34. And it's right over the border fence. I'm thinking, you know, that border fence is looking better for reasons we didn't think about necessarily when we were talking about immigration. That seems to be off the table in D.C. discussions. It certainly wasn't talked about a lot in the presidential campaign.
Yeah,
but you want evidence of how it could be, or Lord help the people of Mexico and their leaders to figure out a solution to that.
Yeah. You know, well, the thing is, we need that border all the way around. You know, the thing is, we can give $85 billion to AIG, but we can't spend $2 billion to build up our border security around our country. It's really frustrating for me. And
what's it going to take? What's it going to take with the new administration? Are they going to continue that, curtail it, say everything's fine, keep the border open, and let anybody come in and go back and forth any time?
I don't know. And then, you know, to say, well, we're going to legalize all the illegal immigrants here, 12 million of them. You know, you got criminals, you got murderers illegal over here. The thing is, use a little logic, use a little common sense. You know, the thing is, there's a lot of very honest illegal immigrants that have been here for many years. My Kickstart Foundation, where I teach martial arts to at-risk kids in the middle schools, you know, a lot of my kids are here. Their parents are illegal immigrants, but their parents are trying to make a living. They've got a good job. They're very responsible in their community. And, you know, the thing is to uproot them and send them back to Mexico and have to give up their job, their home, and their kids, pull their kids out of school. I don't think it's fair. But let's track down the criminals. Let's track down the undesirables. And either send them back to their country or incarcerate them. But you know, the thing is, we got to use common sense here. And I discuss all that in the book. You know, it's too involved.
What kind of reaction are you getting? Because I know one of the things that the publisher puts out on this, and we've talked about this before when the book first came out a few weeks ago, that you're not a policymaker, not a Washington insider, but a concerned father and citizen. And I know this is resonating with a lot of parents, and I'm assuming a lot of kids are going, hey, Chuck, you go. This is a great message.
Yeah, well, they all want me to run for president.
Why do that? You're solvent, as you said a little bit ago. Yeah, I want to do that.
I have a better choice here, Mark. You know, these Chuck Norris facts that are circulating all over the world, you know, that one of them is that America's not a democracy. It's a Chucktatorship. You know? I said, now, if that was true, I would go to Washington, I'd line up every member of Congress, and I'd have Ron Paul, who I think is one of the more honest congressmen there, and I'd say, Ron, point out the honest politicians and the corrupt politicians. And we'd walk down the line, and Ron said, well, he's honest.
And then you get those eight people together.
Yeah, and then he's corrupted. I'd walk up to him and say, you're fired. And if he didn't move immediately, I'd choke him unconscious and drag him over to the pile.
Well, I'll tell you, that'd make great television. That would boost C-SPAN to stratospheric levels. Unbelievable. Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun. Great book, Black Belt Patriotism, How to Reawaken America. And one of the great reasons to get this book, whether you agree with Chuck or not, is the appendices. You have the Declaration of Independence. You have the Constitution. You have, yes, even the Ten Commandments in there. Handy one volume ready for you. A great way to kind of get reacquainted with what should be making America tick and what's worked for 200 some years.
Mark, this is not a liberal book. It's not a conservative book. It's an American book.
Well, great stuff. And perfect for the holiday gift giving. Well, best to you and your family over the Christmas season. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks much.
Okay, thank you, Mark. Right. Happy holidays.
Take care. Chuck Norris, martial arts master, actor, political activist, all around fun guy. And we find out big fan of Elvis. And he said he taught Priscilla Presley how to defend herself. Was that against Elvis and some of the bad nights? I think I'm going to shoot up the TV. A peanut butter and a banana sandwich. Anyway, good guy, Chuck Norris.
Good guy, Steve.
San Diego 1700. Ron in San Diego, welcome to San Diego 1700. Hi.
Thanks. So Chuck Norris is now an expert on America, border, and the economy. I wonder where he got his degrees from, that he is such an expert in these areas.
Now, Ron, do you have a lot of degrees that make you an expert in the area? Because as an American, you have a right, left, right, whatever, to have an opinion on anything. What's wrong? Yeah, suddenly we got to check everybody's credentials?
Yeah. What do you think?
So, let me get this straight. So what you're saying, Ron, is that anybody who gives an opinion, as an American, you don't have a right to an opinion unless you are qualified in certain areas. That's going to wipe out a whole lot of people, including, I think, a majority of members of Congress.
Well, you sort of put them out there like an expert in the economy and an expert on the border. And
no, he said this is his opinion. This is his view as an American. That's why I said at the start he's not a policy wonk, but he said, hey, I'm an American.
I don't know.
We had a lot of founding fathers who were a bunch of farmers. They didn't know much.
It's interesting to me how, you know, just about anyone can come on radio, including myself. And
I'm giving you a starring role now, Ron.
Put themselves out as knowing a whole lot about nothing, and they interview, and then people go, well, did you know? And, if people are really interested in the Constitution, the Ten Commandments, and the Bill of Rights, it's also available at your local library.
Yeah, well, you don't have to go out and buy the book. You can go to the library, or you can go check out his book at the library, for that matter. But it is an interesting book, and it's not liberal, it's not conservative, as you pointed out there toward the end of that. It's an American, he obviously has a very interesting background, and I'll tell you what he's doing with this Kickstart thing, that alone, what he's doing for inner-city kids ought to make you, and you read into that, it's pretty amazing stuff.
I think that's great, and that should be... He should talk more about that.
All right, Ron. He does in the book.
Thanks.
Okay.